Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm excited to have you here to present some really valuable information about how you can balance the upper part of your gastrointestinal tract, including balancing stomach acid and the enzymes that get produced. So before we begin, I want to make sure that you're aware that the information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not intended as medical advice. It's intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from my research and experience to you. I encourage you to go out and make your own healthcare decisions based upon your own research, including what I have to share, and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional, especially if you are under the care of a professional and are on any kind of medication. So, are you ready to begin? So, let's look at the 4R process. There's 4 R's in healing your gut. And today's topic is looking at replace, but there are 4 of them. Last time, last lesson, we looked at remove. We looked at removing the foods and the substances that actually damage your digestive tract. We had elimination diets and things like that. The next thing that we're going to look at now is replace. And replace is where you're going to go in and you're going to put back in. Like the first step, you took out the stuff that was hurting. You're going to put back in the stuff that you're missing, like hydrochloric acid, or helping your body to learn how to make more hydrochloric acid, and also like the enzymes. So we're going to look at replacing. And just to side on the remove, we looked at removing the external things that are hurting the digestive tract. What we're going to look at on in the next session, when we look at the digestive further down, the absorptive phase, we're going to look at removing some of the pathogens, the organisms that can live down there. So there's 2 parts to that remove. That's the replace is so, so important. That's what we're working on today. So re-inoculate we'll do next time as well, when we look at lower down. And that's where you put back in some of the good organisms that should be living there and helping you with digestion and absorption, but are not because they've been destroyed. And we'll look at what destroys that and how you replace that. And then finally, we'll look at the actual repair, restoring the tissues. So before we get to the actual repair phase, we want to be doing these other pieces so that the repair holds. Right? If you start to repair something, but you keep hurting it, damaging it, it's not going to do as much good as if you wait and you stop doing all the other things to it and then do the repair. So that's the order we're going to do it in. But today we're going to look at replace. So let's look at some of the herbs that you can use to stimulate your digestion. And in particular, the action of these bitters is to stimulate not only HCl in your stomach, but also stimulates pepsin, and it stimulates mucus production. And aside from that, it also stimulates bile movement and production. It's called a cholagogue. So these are really, really valuable. So it can stimulate bile, pancreatic enzymes, and hormones. So bitters are plants, basically. They're usually plant substances that are bitter in taste, and they trigger a reflex in under your tongue and in your mouth that stimulates the digestive tract. It stimulates the stomach, the pancreas, and the liver gallbladder. Now, a lot of people just like to replace things, and I'm really strongly opposed to just taking enzymes and just taking things like ox bile or HCl to stimulate the digestion without actually stimulating your own body. You can do them simultaneously. You can give your body what it's missing, but I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't also include some of these bitters. The bitters can enhance immunity. They can enhance your ability to fight off pathogenic infections and invasions. They actually decongest your portal vein. So your vein can get clogged from all the waste products it's bringing back from your body tissue to go back and it be excreted. And it can decrease varicosity, like varicose veins. So they've got a lot of widespread effects. It can calm the nervous system as well and stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. And we briefly touched on that in our first overview of the digestive tract, but that there's 2 branches of the nervous system, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic. And the sympathetic is the one we know of as the tiger fighting phase. It's the where we were running away from danger and we're able to get away, run fast, or fight. the fight-flight nervous system. And the parasympathetic is the opposite. It's more the calm. It's where healing and repair happens. It's where reproduction happens. So we're all, you know, the kind of calm, fun things. And that's where you go when you do yoga or meditation or heart math. And your digestive tract really works efficiently in the parasympathetic nervous system state, but very inefficiently in the sympathetic nervous system state. So bitters can actually trigger a parasympathetic response, so then overall enhance your digestion. They can even lower blood glucose, and that's a real bane, that's a real blessing, I would say, for people who have either diabetes or insulin resistance. We know now what they do, the importance of them. Let's look at some of the common bitters, and then let's talk about how you can incorporate those into your daily health regime. So licorice, hops, milk thistle, gentian, orange peel, dandelion, golden seal and Oregon grape, chicory. So those bitters are things that you can take in a formula, like a little tincture formula, that you put a few drops under your tongue before you eat, like a whole dropperful. You can just put it in your mouth and swish it around to take advantage of that. Something that Europeans have done a lot, the Swedish bitters were popular ways people would mix it with alcohol and go to the bar and get their bitters before going home and having their dinner, help them digest better. I'm not sure that with the alcohol it actually completely accomplishes that, but the idea is there. The other way you can do bitters, it's just your greens, your green leafies. So these are the herbals, but in terms of bitters, things like dandelion, kale, mustard greens, arugula, and some of the greens in the spring mixes, some of the really, really sharp ones, they're all good at stimulating all these factors, these digestive factors. So what you can do is, you know, 15 minutes before your meal, while you're preparing your meal, you can either make a little juice from some of those greens, an ounce or two, swish it around in your mouth, hold it there for a while, let it really stimulate and saturate, and then swallow it. Or you can actually take pieces and you can just chew on them and chew really, really well till they're down to like practically liquid, and then swallow. And that's going to help to stimulate your digestion. And if you do this over time, you're going to see a huge difference in how your body digests food. In terms of solving the problems that lie here, we're looking at solving the problem of the low stomach acid. But what if the problem is that the stomach is irritated? And this usually happens as a result of both low and high stomach acid. And when you have low stomach acid, it actually causes more GERD or reflux, because that the stomach acid actually keeps the like the integrity of that sphincter between the esophagus and the stomach. And so when you don't have enough stomach acid, it gets flaccid and it allows regurgitation. So we want to be able to look at healing factors for the stomach, but these can also be healing factors for the esophagus and the intestines as well. So we have our bitters, we have licorice, we have slippery elm. I love slippery elm. And slippery elm and licorice are amazing in combination with each other. Slippery elm is basically a bark. It's usually the inner bark. So you'd look for slippery elm inner bark powder. And when you look for that, it comes in a powder. You can put a teaspoon of it in water. Does well in warm water. It doesn't do as well in cold water. It kind of clumps. So if you go bring some water to a boil, but don't quite bring it to a boil, bring it to maybe a little bit before and pour that into the slippery elm and stir it real well. Sometimes I'll use a fork to get it to stir real well. That's a really great way to make a slippery elm tea. And a slippery elm tea is so soothing. If you've got an irritated stomach lining or esophagus, or even if you have a sore throat, slippery elm can take away that pain really quickly. If you add licorice to it, or in the case of people with blood pressure problem, you add DGL licorice, diglycerizinated licorice, which will help, will be the licorice without the component that will raise your blood pressure. Then that DGL and slippery elm made into a little tea. The licorice has a nice sweet taste, and the combination of the two is really soothing and healing for the lining. With licorice, some people don't like the taste, so you don't have to put that in. Slippery elm is pretty bland, but some people don't like that blandness. So you could put any essential oils that you'd like that you would find soothing to your digestive tract. I love putting a little bit of anise or lemon or orange, bitter orange or sweet orange. And it just tastes really good to have this. It's a nice flavored tea. The other way you could do it is you can actually make tea using a tea bag or loose tea. Make a tea that you really like and then put that in a cup and then add the slippery elm to the tea after you've taken the tea bag out, of course, so that you don't make a mess. And that makes a really nice drink that you can take before each meal. So I'm going to recommend as part of your actions for today is to start doing the slippery elm beverage before your meals. If you do have any kind of digestive issues, I'd highly recommend that you do that, optionally adding the licorice, especially if you've had longstanding and chronic. And as you can do the HCL supplementation, and that can actually be healing, in fact, for the stomach, because it allows things to return to normal, the normal amount of stomach acid. Pepsin, which is a protease enzyme, a protein digestion enzyme. Lemon juice. A lot of people think, well, if I have an irritated digestive tract, I can't do spicy things. I can't do things that are acidic, like tomatoes and lemons and all that. But that's actually just a false thing. Apple cider vinegar. A teaspoon of apple cider vinegar in 8 ounces of water before a meal can do wonders to help your digestion and soothe the stomach, as well as stimulate the digestive juices. And this is kind of odd, an extract of black pepper, because we're always told to stay away from black pepper if you have stomach issues because it's irritating. But there's some constituents in the extract of black pepper that have been found to be healing to the lining. It's fascinating, isn't it? Glutamine, which is an amino acid, and glutamine has the ability to go in and restore and basically plump up and fluff up the mucus lining in your digestive tract. And it's really good not only for healing stomach, but it's really great for leaky gut, which we'll talk about in our next lesson. Let's talk about how do you support your digestive enzymes and make your body produce enough so that you can digest your meal. Breathe and relax before each meal. Doing your little heart math thing that we've been taught really goes a long way to getting you into that parasympathetic nervous system state where everything works well. Chewing your food thoroughly, right? Knowing that it's the only place where mechanical digestion occurs and the rest of it's going to be chemical. It's a good idea to make it easy on your system to digest your food. If you drink warm water about a half an hour before your meal, that will warm your digestive tract and actually can improve your digestive capacity. And if you put a little bit of apple cider vinegar in that water or make a slippery elm tea, that can help even more dramatically. You want to eat in a calm, relaxed state. Not only get in the relaxed state before eating and do your break, but stay in the relaxed state throughout the meal. When you eat slowly and you really focus your attention on the food, you will have a much better digestion. You're not distracted. You're not worrying about your day. You're not worried about the world and all the things that may be occurring out there. Incorporating a lot of living foods that supply enzymes is a really good idea, because when you eat mostly cooked foods, it draws upon your body's ability to make enzymes. I may leave living foods, I mean foods that have not been cooked. More specifically, living foods might refer to things like sauerkraut and cultured foods that have been fermented and actually increased the amount of enzymes. So whenever you culture food, you make sauerkraut or kefir or yogurt, you're improving the enzyme capacity and the digestive capacity of that food. You want to avoid gluten and dairy. Gluten and dairy are aggravating and irritating to the lining of your digestive tract. Gluten has the ability to cause inflammation, to get stuck in the little openings between the cells, and to create havoc and actually create things like leaky gut and ulcers and even esophagitis. There have been studies that have associated gluten intolerance to people who have esophagitis and reflux. And dairy, the protein casein in dairy is like a glue. It's actually used as a glue in some places, some glue manufacturing. And it just gums up your mechanism and makes it really difficult for your body to do its job. Probiotic foods like sauerkraut, kimchi, cultured veggies, kombucha, coconut kefir, and non-dairy yogurt, all really, really good for you. And we'll be including some recipes in the probiotic learning activity that will give you some really great information about how to make these. We've got some recipes and we've got some resources. Used to be you had to make your own, and now there's lots of places that you can get it. You can really find good quality. We have farmers markets and we find them at the local health food stores. Really good quality. And cultured vegetables are great because it doesn't have to be just cabbage. Sauerkraut's traditionally cabbage, But the cultured veggies, it could be cauliflower, it could be beets, it could be green beans, it could be anything. And when you culture the foods, you're actually inoculating them with an organism, a good quality organism that helps you to produce more probiotics. And the probiotics help you to have a really healthy digestive tract and stimulates good enzyme production. You want to avoid sugar, carbohydrates, and refined carbohydrates and alcohol. And what I mean by refined carbohydrates is anything where the fiber and the germ is being removed. So white flour, white rice, white anything. You know, even some of the gluten-free breads are all loaded with white flour. So you really have to watch that. And flour products are not good anyway, especially if you've got excess weight. And alcohol is definitely decreases your enzyme capacity and it aggravates your pancreas. So it's not something you want to have at all very often. Maybe you have it once a year at a holiday celebration or something. And then digestive enzymes, either during or after each meal, you want to take them away from any stomach acid supplementation. So if you are taking hydrochloric acid as a supplement, you want to make sure that you do that at the beginning part of the meal and then the enzymes at the end so they don't interfere with each other. But digestive enzymes you can take. Some people take them at the beginning of the meal. And people always ask me, should I take them at the beginning of the meal, the middle, the end? You know, I tend to think best. It's best at the middle to the end, but a lot of folks will forget. You know, if you don't take it right there at the middle, at the beginning, you forget. So if you're going to forget at the middle and the end, just take them at the beginning, as long as you're not taking it with hydrochloric acid. Let's look at some of the demulcent herbs that actually soothe and heal your digestive tract. Well, they soothe the digestive tract. That's one of the things that they do. They provide some of the mucilage, some of them cooling agents to help to soothe an aggravated tissue. They also help to rebuild, especially things like marshmallow and slippery elm and plantain and aloe vera. They have polysaccharides in them that actually help your body to produce a better mucus layer. They are anti-inflammatory. Some of them are, and some of them are not anti-inflammatory, but they're just demulcent. So there's a crossover, and demulcent meaning soothing, and I also call them mucilaginous, some of those. They lubricate your digestive tract. So especially if you have hard stools and constipation, taking some of these demulcent herbs will coat and soothe your digestive tract and lubricate so that your stool passes through much more quickly and easily. And then they nourish your body fluids and tissues. So demulcent herbs hold a lot of fluid and they're really good for people who tend to be dehydrated. So what are some of these demulcent herbs? Licorice. And licorice has been studied over and over and over again and put up against some of the acid controlling medications for people with ulcers. And licorice heals the ulcers. The acid decreasing medications just decrease the pain. So when studies have been done, and there's been dozens and dozens and dozens of them, with licorice compared to, say, Pepcid or Prilosec or something like that, what happens is they see that the Prilosec people will have more immediate relief in the short term. Within the first week or two, they may have more comfort than the licorice ones. But once the licorice has actually been able to be there a while and actually heal the lining, the people taking the licorice have much better results and much better relief from the pain. Marshmallow is another one. And, you know, you think about marshmallows, those little white things that you stick on a stick and you put in the fire. But that, the original marshmallow, it's a plant. And it's the marshmallows that we see in the stores have no marshmallow, no real marshmallow in it. But its marshmallow is a very demulcent, very gooey. So if, when you add water to it, you can get a kind of thick, pasty, like, solution, almost a mucusy-like solution that you can swallow. Slippery elm is very similar. Slippery elm tends in a lot of people to be more specific for the digestive tract and soothing, and marshmallow more for the respiratory system, but it varies so widely that you can try either one and you can vary it and see which one works the best. They're both inexpensively found. I buy most of my bulk herbs now at a place called Mountain Rose Herbs. They're on the West Coast, and they're very reputable, very good, organic, high-quality stuff. And very inexpensively, maybe 10 bucks, you can get a pound of slippery elm, maybe 12. I don't remember exactly, but it's very, very cost-effective. Comfrey, on the other hand, is a little bit more rare. It's not something that I recommend you do on a regular basis. Usually only recommend comfrey for people who have really severely compromised things going on, and the slippery elm and the marshmallow are not really doing the trick. Comfrey is very potent at healing tissue. It's usually used more for external stuff, but can be used internally, but you don't want to use it long term because it has these chemicals called pyrrolizidine alkaloids, which can actually be damaging to the liver when you take them for too long. Irish moss is an awesome sea vegetable, and it looks kind of stringy. It's usually bleached in the sun so that it's white, so that you can use it in creamy type concoctions. So I've used Irish moss to make cheesecakes and cheeses and nice creamy dips. And what it does is when you soak it, it soaks up a lot of water, and then you take it, you rinse it off, you put it in the blender with a lot more water, and you blend it up to make a paste. And that paste can be added to smoothies, it can be added to dips, and actually cuts down on the amount of fat that you need to put. So say you're making a nut dip, you can put a bunch of Irish moss in there to fill that up. And Irish moss has the ability to really soothe. It's especially great for the lining of the lungs. When people have lung problems, they take Irish moss, and it's really good for that. But it's good for anything at all where you need soothing and healing. It's very demulcent. You just want to avoid getting the flakes of the Irish moss, because when you use the flakes and you stir them up in water, they don't all get broken down fully, and the flakes can actually get caught in some of the openings in your lining of your gut, and it can actually cause some inflammation. So we don't recommend using flakes, just the whole pieces. Cinnamon is a really great diverse herb because it's good not only for helping to soothe and heal, and it's anti-inflammatory, but it also helps lower your blood sugar and keep that nice and steady. We've all heard of chamomile. You know, have a nice cup of chamomile tea. Chamomile has the joint effects of calming the muscles and the muscle linings, like of the small intestine and the stomach, but it also is very soothing as well and healing. Fenugreek is used. It's got a very specific type of smell. It's very unique type of smell, but it can be used in a tea and it can be used in a formula to help to heal and soothe. Jujube dates are kind of interesting. I had my first experience with these when I went to a farmer's market a couple of years ago, and they had these what looked like dates on the table, but they looked kind of different. And I was talking to the farmer, and oh yeah, these are jujube dates. And I'd heard of jujube dates. I'd just never seen them. Very commonly used in China. They're not anywhere near as sweet as the conventional dates that we think about. And they really have a nice demulcent kind of a quality. So those are nice to include in a formula to heal. We've gone through quite a number of things that you can do to heal and soothe your digestion. I recommend that you review this information, look over the slides, take notes, go back and listen again if you need to, and then review the documents that we have on the page related to this lesson to give you more specifics. I highly recommend that before every meal, you do a pre-meal ritual that's intended to optimize your digestion and your absorption. And you need to do this every time you put food in your body, because you want to prepare it well. You want your body to receive it well. You want your enzymes to be just jumping and climbing and ready to help you. You want your lining of your gut to be nice and thick and rich and produce enough acid and have all those little valves between the sections of the intestine be opening and closing at the right time, just to make this perfect. And so having this pre-meal ritual, which you can do in 30 seconds or less, the first one is stop. Just stop. When I was explaining this to someone a couple of weeks ago, I said, you just need to stop. And she says, okay, stop what? I said, no, you just need to stop. And she was a mom with a young toddler, and she was running a business and doing all sorts of things. I said, you just need to stop. This is your time to nourish your body. This is your time to take that external stuff and turn it into fuel that's going to make you either hum or flop on the couch. It's going to make you feel great, or it's going to have you doubled over in pain. And the way you approach your meals can have a huge effect. You can save a lot of money on supplements and things if you'll actually do this before each meal. It's cheap, it's easy, and it's quick. Look, I know this is like the stop, look, listen you learned when you were little. It's the start. Stop and then look. What do you want to look at? You want to look at the food. You want to look at the magic that's on your plate that you are about to, with the just amazingness of your digestive tract, turn from these bobs of food, bobs of plants, or whatever else you have on your plate, and turn it into you. That food is going to turn into you. That protein is going to be used to build a new you, to build your digestive tract, to build your hormones, to make you. Those fats are going to become your cell membranes. So just let's look at what we're putting in, and let's really manage what we're putting in given the guidelines we've already talked about. It's important to have gratitude for that food. It's important to tune into your heart and feel a sense of appreciation, love, and gratitude for what you're about to do. You're about to take the beauty of nature and put it in your body. So after you tune into your heart, you breathe fully and deeply. And just go ahead and do that right now. And you'll feel your shoulders fall. You'll feel your neck loosen. And know that that same relaxation you feel on the outside, you're feeling on the inside too. That whole digestive tract is smiling. And you can imagine it smiling. You can imagine your whole digestive tract smiling as you feel sincere appreciation for it, for doing such a wonderful job of turning these blob of food on your plate into you. So really, do this every time before you put food into your body. You can do it in 30 seconds. You stop, you look, you tune into your heart and take a deep breath all at the same time. You can put your hand over your heart and just take a deep breath. Oh, and you can say thank you. Brings tears to my eyes. Thank you for providing that nourishment. Thank you, body, for being able to do the work of taking that and transforming it. So let's look at an action plan for building a really good, solid digestion in the upper digestive tract. And in our next session, we'll talk about how to actually optimize the absorption of the food going into you to make sure it all goes in. Start with the bitters 15 minutes before your meal. Do your pre-meal ritual like we just talked about, and do it with love and gusto. You can take some enzymes at the beginning of the meal. You can chew thoroughly, and the enzymes can be taken at the beginning, the middle, the end. Chew your food thoroughly. Chew, 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 chew. Take some gut healing herbs like slippery elm tea or GGL before each meal. Just simple. It can be a nice ritual while you're making your meal, is to pour yourself a soothing cup of tea. Do your bitters. Yeah. Take your gut-soothing herbs. Ah. Do your pre-meal ritual. Dig in. Start to eat. You can throw the enzymes in at the beginning or the middle or the end, whatever works with your schedule. So this is your tasks. This is your task for the week. Don't worry about all the other stuff, about all the other herbs and stuff. We can work those in later. Unless you've already got them, you're familiar with them, you can start to use some of the others, fine. But just start with this. Start with this at every meal. You don't want to give your body too much to do at once. And then I'll see you next time when we're talking about the lower digestive tract and absorption, optimizing your absorption, healing leaky gut, and getting control of gut bugs. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Rita Marie, and have a wonderful day.